Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, the number one podcast in the world for DJs, brought to you by DJ Double and Stylo.
Lock in every week to hear us discussing the hottest topics from the DJ world, controversial opinions, and tips and advice for DJs coming up in the club scene.
Follow us on Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music
to listen to conversations for the DJs
by the DJs.
What's poppin'?
Welcome. Happy New Year, motherfucker.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
It's basically on the
25th of March. So I mean, this guy. Shocking behavior.
Wagwan.
Double forgot about us.
Fuck off. This is not me.
25th of Jan. This is the first time I've seen his face since Boxing Day.
Don't even put that on me.
The guy came to compound and doesn't want to speak to me anymore.
It's because of that fucking hotel room you put me in.
I put him in a box like Roddy Rich, and now he won't talk to me anymore. Oh my days!
All right, let's talk about compound real quick. Let's talk about compound. What a fucking vibe!
Oh shit, we've not even spoken since then. No, this is awful.
Of course, we've spoken since then, but we just...
Awful attempt at a podcast.
We haven't clarted since then, which is bad. Sorry, everyone. We're back.
But basically, January's actually been a bit messy, man, which is mad. Not even on the DJ front, but in other lines of work.
Bruv, why?
I've literally been glued to my laptop screen for about 20 hours straight. My eyes...
You know what I do in January is now, and I did this. I started doing this a couple of years ago. Pandemics not included. But mate, I don't work in January really.
I don't normally.
I used to hit the ground running. I used to use New Year's Eve as right. Okay, cool. From tomorrow, I'm having a rest. Then 2nd of January, I'm hitting the ground running, flooding the streets with content.
I was about to say, you remember them days, January
was the diary. Like, yeah, booking
first
the
of January.
Out.
Let's go!
This year's my year!
New year, new me. I'm in the gym for about one day.
New year, new gear, and all of that shit. But, you know what I started doing a couple of years ago, and I actually found it worked better. And again, pandemic's excluded from this. I take January off pretty much. Yeah. Because what I find is everybody else is in the new year, new gear mindset. The timeline is absolutely flooded with content. Everyone's on their gas level for a month. And then there's just so much noise, bro. There's just so much going on, and everyone's trying to prove themselves like, this year's my year. There's nothing wrong with that mentality. But in my opinion, doing it all in January is a burnout mentality now.
Yeah, kind of just let everyone blow the load in January, innit? And then in February, be like,
basically,
here we are.
And that's, you know what? That's something I applied a couple years ago, and it works for me. And you know what I do in January is now? I just disappear out the country for a bit. This year was a bit different. I disappeared out the country. I didn't go far. I went to Scotland.
The guy didn't even leave the UK.
I left England. But it was a vibe. I just went on a little snowboarding excursion. Climbing mountains, snowboarding down them.
Decent.
Fucking vibes, bruv.
Very good. Oh, yeah. No holidays to share over here, unfortunately. I've not been anywhere.
Shit. But no, just my point
might
is...
Might be going to Dubai tomorrow, though.
Random. Tomorrow,
yes!
Yeah.
Let's go! Get me out of this fucking hole, mate.
Good shit.
But, I'm only joking.
But yeah, no, January, I kind of... I just relax, bruv, to be honest. I kind of just take time. Just chill. Don't do too much. I've done about 4 bookings this month, and I don't care. Usually I'll be like, oh, I need to get the work in, but you know what? The end of last year.
It's mad you say that. Yeah. So you've done.
What?
I'm probably about the same. I've probably done like 4. Three or 4 bookings.
I'm not mad at it though, but it's because the end of last year, from August to December last year, was bookings galore. Do you know what I mean? And again, this year's loading, bruv. Like, looking at a lot of the dates that are coming in now, the year's gonna be mad. So I'm like, let me sit down for January. Let me just sit off the ground a bit for January.
Looks like you're gonna be doing part life now, innit? I've seen the lineup go up this morning. Blood. Yeah, get slide bruv, me in the back door, please. Pause.
Pause. Festivals are run this year, bruv. And the dope thing is I'm getting DJ double bookings for festivals as well, not just ones I'm doing with Ardy.
Good shit, man. Yeah, see
happy times, mate. Happy times. This year's my year. anyway, back to Compound, by the way. Let's just not skim over that. Mate, that was a motherfucking vibe.
It was a good night, man. It was a good night. It was a very good night, in fact. What I remember of it. I was a bit twisted.
One sec. Can you hear that?
Oh, God.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is it working properly? Sorry, my mic went on a bit of a rampage just then.
Sounds like you got a dodgy wire.
I have got a dodgy wire by the looks of things. Uh-oh. I fixed that. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, Compound, man. What an amazing, fun event.
Did you enjoy?
You've got a sick crowd there, bro.
Do you know what's mad? Like, we're literally building this crowd from scratch, innit? So I didn't even know quite a few of them faces in there. We're just trying to build, like, a bit of an organic following that all tap into the same energy, innit? And it's slowly, steady working, man. Steady working. But the second one was much better than the first one. Yeah. The vibes were just as good. But obviously the numbers and all that we obviously done a lot better than the first one. So the progression was there, man.
I've had quite a few people hit me up on Insta and stuff since then. Manny-based people. And they're all like, yeah, Compound is the thing. Like, I can't wait to go to the next Compound. They're all telling me, like, before you've even announced it, they're all telling me that they're going to be at the next Compound. So it's a thing. Slowly, but you know what?
Get out.
Let's talk about the tense 2 to 3 minutes that happened towards the start of the night.
Yo, this actually came about football on Sunday, man. Because two of the lads that I play football with were there. But you see that? See how man styled it? Like a true pro. You see, do you remember? You don't remember, do you?
I was a little bit waved, but explain the situation to everyone that's listening.
Shit, so how did it even happen, man?
All right, so
I think it was Kay's fault.
He was doing the warm-up, vibesing it up nicely. Everyone was just, it was just vibes, innit? It was good, proper vibes.
Just warming up.
A lot of bodies in the room already, and there was quite a big queue outside as well. Then what happened?
There's no other way to say it. The fucking decks died, bro. Like, not even, there's no way to say it. Not even the decks, the whole setup.
Everything basically switched off.
one of the booth monitors, the like stage wedges, like what you get when you're performing, you know, they have them at the front of the stage. So the booth monitors were like wedges down in the corners. One of them was making a next level noise. Yeah, like it was going to fucking explode at any second. Even when I was doing sound check, I remember thinking, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Something going on here. Basically that speaker short-circuited, exploded, and tripped the whole rig.
The whole of Manchester.
They felt like it, innit?
Yeah.
Probably because I had about 97 plug sockets wired up on that corner. Basically, music died.
There was a good... That was a solid 3 to 4 minutes.
You know them moments where it's like when the music cuts off in the club, 10 seconds feels like 10 minutes.
That was a solid like 4 minutes or so.
It was quiet. Do you know what, bruv? To be fair, if that was in another venue or someone else's night or a student night of some sort, that wasn't my own people, I would have got pelters, man. I think there was one or two people that there was one or two in there that did a little
they tried it
but yeah, man. Yeah. Nah, but you know what, it, those situations, fair, it was close to being a disaster. It was starting to get awkward.
There was a moment literally towards the probably halfway through the third minute where I'm like, holy shit, like I haven't even started playing yet. Have I come all the way to Manchester to go home?
This guy, have I spent all this dough and built all this night for just to send everyone home? This guy.
Oh yeah, I wasn't at this point. I wasn't concerned about you.
At this moment,
bro.
You're the last person I'm thinking of.
I wasn't concerned about you. I was sat there thinking, oh, I hope this wasn't a wasted journey. Oh,
you can go back to your easy hotel.
Yeah, the easy box room.
I mean, now you and Silk have got something in common because I bought you both in that hotel. Silk messaged me and was like, bro, what the fuck is it?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a hotel, to be honest. I call it more of a cell. But it is. It was funny because literally, yeah. So anyone sweaty, that didn't see my Instagram story, the room was so small, I could touch all four walls at the same time.
That's crazy.
I was lying on my bed and I put one foot on one wall, one foot on the other wall, my right hand on one wall, my left hand on the other wall, all four walls. I could touch them all.
Oh, listen, do you think I do not care, bro. As long as you got someone, as long as you can sleep in there, mate. I mean,
to be fair, yeah, I didn't.
Logistically, it didn't
bother
perfect.
Me too much because
it was about 15 yards from the club, mate. Do you know what I mean? I tried to look after you there, bro. I tried to make sure everything was within reach, walking distance. City centre is a bit of a myth, like parking and getting around. So it's like, get the venue, get a hotel at the top of the street. Boom, 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 boom.
It was good.
Happy days. Compound
was the vibe, man. It was,
I enjoyed it, bro. Like, that's how I visualize an event. Like, if I get to pick and choose the vibe or how it's going to be, is that. And that's where we need to take it going forward, man. It's too much.
I like Manchester.
I will not conform to the bullshit.
I like Manchester. You played on New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah.
Where did you play?
I played at Zurich.
Manchester. Okay. Is it as weird as the one in London? Do they do like weird shit there?
Yeah. They got like little gimps walking around with their tits out and that. And
little gimps. I went to the one in London.
It's a proper random gaff, man.
Yeah, I went
it's
to the one
though.
In London.
It's good. It is good.
In December, we went to the one in London. And at some point, I didn't realize that it's kind of like a bougie sort of strip club vibe. I didn't really realize that. There's actually like a catwalk for strippers and stuff. And there was a stripper room with poles and shit like that. I didn't know that it was like that. Anyway. They did one performance where it's basically, this is the weird part.
It's like a fucking soft porn, isn't it?
Nah, this bit was weird. There was probably like, she was probably about 65 years old, probably about 24 stone. Ass naked on the catwalk.
It's like, mad, isn't it?
With nipple tassels. And yeah, doing some weird shit. It was weird, I'm not going to lie.
I think Circa definitely got their own little unique vibe going on, but I like it, man. Like, I like these venues that know what they are and just have their own distinct vibe. Like, nobody is like Circa.
Mm.
No one. So like, I like it, man. It took a bit getting used to the all the table stuff and that because it's quite intense. But like, once you get your head around that,
did you have to do the bottle show things where you play the music, like the specific songs for bottles?
Yeah, so I was having this conversation with Q-Ball the other day, man, and like he does a lot. He does Cirque in London now and a few of the other, like Rain and a few of the more bougie spots. And like doing them table clubs, it's a different type of DJing, man. Like you've got to be built a little bit different, bro, to be able to... I think the fact that I've done broadcasting and stuff, like being able to balance multiple things in the studio... You know what I mean? Running idents, doing your links, the timing, keeping everything in schedule, playing music, doing this. Like, Cirque is kind of like that. It's a program.
Really?
Cirque is like a program of stuff. So there's certain stuff happening at certain times. There's dance routines happening at certain times. Then you can get given a request from the dance team at any moment. The table get to pick the requests. They all have to run in sync with the bottle shows. So you'll get signals from one side of the room for a bottle show to run and this and that. And then in between that, you still have to be on your A game in the gaps of all the other stuff going on and keep the energy like up. So it's, the first time I've done it, I'm not going to lie, I did not enjoy it, man. I was like, I've done VIP stuff before. I've done table stuff before, but not to that level. But yeah, man, once you get used to it, like you kind of just settle in, which is mad because the amount of times we've cussed table shows on here.
I'm not a fan, bro, to be honest. Like, I don't like the... Maybe I've got the wrong mentality for it, but I don't like the fact that someone else is in control of what I'm doing.
Yeah, but this is the thing. When the table clubs, the VIP things, it's not the same angle as the events that we would do or the events that you would do. Like, it's about man spending money. The table thing is mad important. It's imperative to them.
I know.
So like letting a man that sprays two bags on a table pick a song. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but the problem I have with that is that none of that 2 grand filters down to the DJ.
Yeah, I know. unless you're getting obviously tips or whatever, or you're getting handsomely looked after with your rates, then obviously.
Yeah. But I mean, generally, I'm under the impression generally those clubs aren't amazing rates anyway. Like, they're all right, but they're not, it's not like groundbreaking shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's decent, man. Oh, we won't talk about that.
Fuck's sake.
Let's not go there today.
Let's
not go there.
Keep planning the money episode that we never talk about.
Sick New Year's Eve was good, man. It was dope.
So did you do the midnight set?
Yep.
What was your first song that you played this year?
Right, so you got this is mad. I played something completely different.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Because Cirque is like, right, this is the thing for me. Like, this is how I look at New Year's Eve. Do not play the main banger at midnight. No one's listening. Nobody is listening to the song that drops at midnight. They're not. Yeah, they might for about a second, but you're embracing your friends. What happens at midnight? Oh, Happy New Year. Oh, yeah. Oh. Everyone's your best mate for like 30 seconds. Oh, yeah. Oh, Happy New Year. No one's listening to the song. So I tried to pick a song that was like fitted that moment. That was like happy, uplifting. You know what I mean?
What did you pick?
And everyone can embrace and have a little chat, hug the friends. You know what I mean? Suck your mate's bum, whatever makes you feel better. I played, it was the Dua Lipa song and Elton John.
I have no idea what that is.
It was the Pinau remix. It's more poppy dance. It's not even like pop dance. It's going to sound like people are probably going to laugh at me that I didn't play like a turn up hip hop song or whatever, but it was epic, yo. It worked perfectly.
Good shit.
Pick for the occasion.
I don't even know who Dua Lipa is, but I don't think...
You do know who Dua Lipa is.
No, I don't like... I think I know one of her songs she did with Sean Paul, but I only know it off of It's In My Serato. But I don't actually... If she was stood in a line of people, I wouldn't be able to point her out.
Shall I play it? Oh, no, in fact, it's better not, actually. I don't know if a copyright is a thing on Spotify and that.
Dua Lipa and Elton John.
People will know it. It was huge. It was massive.
You've got a very good selection when it comes to those kind of vibes. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I'm just open with it, man. Like, I was just like, yeah, I could play Way Too Sexy or whatever. Like, no offense to anyone that played them songs, by the way, but
I don't like that song. There's two songs I don't like that I've actually reintegrated into my set, and it goes against my rules. But I've kind of done it anyway. I retired Mo Bamba for a little while, but actually, when I started touring with RD, it was one of them turn-up songs, didn't it? It was just like, when I'm doing my 10-minute set before RD comes out, chuck Mo Bamba.
Double's got an easy life now. 10-minute turn-up, bye.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was easy.
Double has got an easy life now, My man steps on stage with a primed audience, yeah. Ready to go.
They are not always primed. There's been a couple of shows that we did. The warm-up DJ did not understand the assignment.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And they were not primed. And then luckily it wasn't hard work to get them in the mood because I can do that with the mic work.
I was about to say, like, I'm sure like they're there for RD. So like the minute you get on and say some shit, like, they're just going to be receptive, innit? You don't have to fight for them. It's not like
literally
up and warming up at like the academy or something, and like no one's just staring at you. Like,
yeah, one of the venues, I set everything up and literally just turned the music off, and I just went on the mic. I just went, "Yo," and everyone went fucking mental, bruv. It was amazing. It was quality. I think the DJ before me at that point wasn't using the mic either.
And so felt like Michael Jackson when Michael Jackson comes out of stage and just does that.
My mama
just looked to the right and everyone starts screaming.
Yeah, I literally just on the mic, I just went, "Yo," and that's it. No, what I was going to say though, because I need to bring up a couple of points just so that I don't come across like an absolute fucking pagan. Now, several episodes ago, possibly like 2 years ago, we did an episode about tour DJs. And as a resident DJ at the time, my complaint was the tour DJs that come on, do their little 10 minutes and
Double has now become that guy. So Double is like the guy it. That he didn't want to become.
I didn't like it.
I don't believe it. Like, do you know what?
As a resident DJ,
I'm going to insert a soundbite in here. I'm going to find it.
No, you're not. You haven't got the effort to do that.
I am going
to
go and rip that off YouTube and slot it in.
But anyway, the tour DJs that turn up, do their little 10 minutes and rinse every single fucking banger ever made in that 10 minutes, leaving the resident with fuck all left. I'm not going to lie.
Can't believe it.
I wasn't that extreme with it, but I have been that guy.
I can't believe it. Turned into that guy. You're turning into the waste man DJ comes to the club and plays 10 minutes of every banger invented in the last...
No, not every banger. I was always very mindful of the fact that the DJ's got like 2 hours to play after me. There's some of the bigger clubs
Bullshit.
We did. No, I was. Genuinely was. Some of the bigger clubs we played as well were literally doing like house before we came on. And then they were gonna like they were big like commercial venues. So it's open format. So I knew that the DJ was gonna be doing house and drum and bass and stuff after. They're the ones where I went harder with the rap because I could tell the DJs, the resident DJs aren't like hip hop DJs, do you know what I mean? But then yeah. So anyway.
Doubles become that guy.
I did a little bit of rinsage. But yeah, like I say, I was mindful. I didn't absolutely cane it. However, I was doing it under instruction, basically. That's what I was told to do. So the management, as we sat down and planned the club shows and stuff, the management basically were like, right, your job is to go on and do the bangers for 10 minutes, get everything primed, then RD comes out.
I reckon all artist managers say the same thing. Like they want the stage set for their artist, innit?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is part of the job. And I always understood it was part of the job. It's just sitting on the other side of the fence when you're the resident and you've got to clean up the mess for the next 2 hours after the artist.
That first hour afterwards, man.
For
when
the residents, it is annoying for this guy to come into their club, do the best songs, do you know what I mean? Like, and then play for the artist and then cut. As a resident, it is annoying. But luckily, I'm on the other side of the annoying fence now.
Yeah, so now you can be that guy, mate.
So yeah, sorry everyone. If I come to your club and rinse 10 minutes of your set out, I don't apologize. It's my fucking job. I don't apologize. Deal with it, motherfucker. Peru is going to be number one this week. Do you realize how mad that is?
Is it actually gonna hit though? I see in the post.
Looks like it.
Yeah, it's
that's the power of Ed. It's literally the power of Ed's streaming platforms, man. His fans go inwards.
Yeah,
anything
that's
crazy. Ed Sheeran touches turns to ginger. I mean gold.
Wow. That was poor. That was poor, man. This guy. No, it's a strong look. It's a strong look, but Afrobeats is kind of running the world right now, man. Like
I love Afrobeats.
It's my favorite genre, I think. Currently.
You know what? I'm actually...
Afrobeats and R&B as well. I see all these posts about R&B's dead, UK R&B's dead, blah, blah, blah. It's not, man. People just aren't looking around properly.
It's just not mainstream. That's
just
what I mean.
People are just lazy. Like, yeah. R&B is fucking flourishing right now, mate. Anyway, that's not good. But yeah, Afrobeats seems to be the global phenomenon right now, isn't it?
I love Afrobeats. And you know what? Through the lockdown, especially last year, a lot of last year, I was listening to a lot of Afrobeats. And I think the reason is because as well, like, the rap music during the lockdown and stuff, when I'm not able to play it out and things, like, a lot of rap was just sounding very toxic to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't in necessarily like a positive mind frame for a lot of last year. And so listening to rap was not putting me in a positive mind frame. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas listening to Afrobeats, bruv, they're just party songs, girl songs, sex songs, all of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like just proper vibes.
It's the melody as well, man. Like all the Afrobeats have, like, I want to hear, when I listen to music, I want to hear melody. I want to hear vibe. Like I want to hear like the energy. Like, I don't know, man. Afrobeats is kind of like, it reminds me of when dancehall, like, I don't like new dancehall, by the way, but like, if you go about like, I don't know, like 15, 20 years, when dancehall felt like that, it was all bare uplifting and good energy and like melodic. Like, I feel like that's where Afrobeats is sitting now. Dancehall's kind of gone down this little, not all of it, obviously, but I feel like it's just having this little weird phase. Like I'm hearing all these hip hop fucking beats.
Have you heard this? Have you listened to Shenseea and Megan Thee Stallion's new song?
It's awful, mate.
Fucking trash, bro.
Shenseea is one of my favorite like female dancehall artists like ever, and absolutely stinking out the gaff with that song, mate. But then again, I read an article from Marvin Sparks, by the way. Shout out Marvin. He used to work at MTV back in the day. He's a writer. He'd done a sick article on it, breaking it down. It was well interesting. I think it's on his Twitter. It's at Marvin Sparks. And it was something like about Jamaicans trying to crack America because of the whole attraction to like being in the Grammys and getting on the billboards, but like no, it's obviously known for it never really hits in the States like they want it to.
Yeah.
And that is kind of that's just a perfect example of her trying to bridge the gap to get into America, but a song that is just not really true to what she's doing, but they're trying to hit the bigger numbers, you know what I'm saying? Because that isn't even like anything Shenseea would put out. It suits Meg perfectly, but it doesn't
content-wise, it is. Like, Shenseea is a very much like, she does a lot of raw songs, bro.
She does, but not like, not like that, though. Like, all Yardies are better sexually in the music, bro. Yardies are the only people that can sing Dash Up Your Bumper and make it sound bad melodic and like,
make it sound romantic.
They make it sound romantic, bro. Dagger in a gal, but it's
open up, belly.
Over a candlelit dinner.
it's trash. I'll be honest, I have absolutely no idea why anyone rates Megan Thee Stallion. I think she is fucking garbage, bro.
It's just the product of the machine for me again, man.
But like, she's trash. And I don't understand. Like, I do not understand.
Did you see that clip from Getz the other day? Sitting down with Chucky and that. It was like a talk show.
No.
And Getz said something about, what was his exact words now, man? Trying to think what he said. It was something like, he's basically talking about the level of like artists and stuff that are out here now and how shit they are and how mediocrity is basically celebrated. But because you have like one or two that come in and do it, but then you'll have one or two other shit guys that were like, well, they could do it. They're shit. I may as well have a go. So now go and do it. And then it's just started this conveyor belt of mediocre talent.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they can have a go. And obviously now you got Spotify and all that, and like Getz just nailed it, bro. Like the whole panel was just like, oh, it's so true. Like my man sat there like, well, if he can do it and he's shit and he's charting, fuck it, I'm gonna have a go then. I'll do it too. And then before you know it, there's a million man them out here that ain't really got the talent, but they're being accepted, which has just dropped the level right down, right across the board. Hence why these dead artists get mad numbers and still get championed. Like it's the system's broke, man.
Part of it's to do with social media.
And that as well.
Because it's like everyone's connected to everything. So it's just constant noise. It goes back to what I was saying right at the start. Like with January, when a lot of people are like hitting the ground running and posting all their content and stuff. But like with music, it's constantly like that. My inbox is battered, bruv.
It's at the point now where I can't stay on top of my music in my emails anymore.
I can't.
Because there is so much. I'm only downloading that depending on what the email looks like.
This is the thing.
The approach from the label, the plugger, what they've written.
What is bad though? You know why it's bad? I even do it based off the artist's name now. If it's an artist name that I don't recognize. No, I'm not even joking, brother. If it's an artist name that I don't recognize, if it's a shit name, I'm not downloading your music.
It's so
and that's detrimental
hard now.
To me, you know, because there's a few artists that are bust through with names that I think are shit. And so I never downloaded their songs.
Ardy. Like,
absolutely not. Ardy's a guy. I'm joking, man.
I'm gassing. I remember the debate we had on air about Ardy and H. Now they're making a rhythm together. Yeah. With Litech as well. My guy.
And YJ.
My guy. I love that.
Yeah.
I found the quote from Marvin about Shenseea. I'm going to read it out anyway because it's quite interesting. What did he say? I understand why the Shenseea and Meg song came out like that. When you have to make back the money invested and there's no clear pattern of what works for people like you, you do what looks like it will work. And it's a sorry sign of the times we're living in. It's pointless comparing to the Jean Paul era, as that was a completely different time and situation for many reasons. I've been against Jamaican acts trying to break in America as their first stop for 10 years plus. England has and will forever be better suited We get the real thing sonically and culturally, and the Americans don't. They have small parts that do, but genuinely, USA is proudly ignorant to other cultures. But UK success isn't sexy Jamaicans, sexy to Jamaicans, i.e. the Billboard and the Grammys are. What did he put? He said, this is why people should have bridged the controller and work wave instead of the discussions and cussing. But back to the Shensaya song, it's easy to cuss when the outcome has no bearing on you. That's why I don't cuss songs anymore. It ain't my business. Bro, it's true, man. It's all ticking
that's
boxes, isn't it?
That's a good little summary.
It's true. It's so true. But like you say, like it's not. We're not glamorous. Everyone wants a billboard. Everyone wants to be on the Grammys. But like the reality is, UK has always championed reggae. And like you're talking, you're like going back to UB40 and all them mans. Like,
not even just championed it, derived a lot of their music styles from it.
100%, 100%. But
there's so much, like, especially, I mean,
Shensaya should collab with a UK artist, and I guarantee it would resonate way more than this Meg thing. The Meg thing might get spoken about because the visual is crazy and the video is obviously is out here, and it's, you know what I mean? It's a bit raunchy.
Who would you put her in a session with? Who would you
in the UK?
Yeah.
Ooh. You know what? It's an interesting one, you know. It's interesting. Because Shensaya, you could put her in with a rapper. You could put her in with a singer. You could put her in with a multiple of artists, I think. Because Shensaya can bar, you know. And she can sing. I would probably throw her in with... Lil Sims is a shout.
Little Sims.
That'd be a shout. Wife would have shouted that in the background. She's listening.
Little Sims and Shensaya.
Are you mad, bro? That's a fucking... See these collabs? Are you joking, bro?
Little Sims and Shensaya.
That would never work.
Why would it not work? Sonically, how would that work? Listen to what Little Sims raps about.
Why would it not work?
Listen to what Little Sims raps about and listen to what Shensaya sings about. They're like...
Shensaya just doesn't sing about one topic.
That's like putting cheese in porridge, bro.
No, actually, you tell me Shensaya doesn't bar on some deeper thing.
She does. She does bar, but not on a conscious thing. She's talking about fingering herself.
Not in every song?
Not in every song, but she ain't conscious like that. Little Sims.
What, so you can't put Sims... a conscious rapper with Shensaya because she's a conscious rapper?
I'm just saying I don't think the song would work. I don't think
Does grime and all that, but does conscious rap. And deeper shit, but we'll jump on a fucking any rhythm with anyone.
Yeah, but even Getz and Shensaya wouldn't sound good.
Why would it not? Yeah, it would.
It would be weird. No, it would be weird.
It wouldn't be weird.
It'd be weird. I would put her down much more in a. Like,
who would you put her with?
Like, okay, if I'm doing Shensaya, right, I've got a session with Shensaya. Literally, I'm putting.
That wasn't my shout, by the way. That was the wifey.
don't throw her under the bus.
Oh, she just shouted it in the background.
Shensaya.
Young T and Bugsy. Mazzaline.
Bugsy.
Yeah, on the chorus.
They just did a song with Chronix, actually, which ain't too bad.
They just did a song with Last. And it's a banger.
With who?
Last. Don't tell me you don't know who Blast is.
Oh, Blast. Yeah.
Not blast.
Yeah, that's why I didn't understand your language. Blast? Blast? Who?
Blast?
Oh, Blast.
Blast for me.
Shensaya. Who am I putting her with?
She's on a track with Meg Thee Stallion, mate. Fucking hell.
I'm putting Shensaya. I think I'm putting Shensaya.
Has she done anything with Style OG? You could do a UK yard collaboration there.
Yeah, I don't think I'm thinking in terms not just of sonically, but I'm thinking in terms of how successful the record would be, right?
Oh, okay. Well, if you're saying that, then yeah, you're just gonna go and pick bait ones, isn't it?
I reckon I'm putting Shensaya. Her and Miss Banks would do good together, but I don't think it would be a big enough record.
Yeah, Miss Banks. Yeah, well, that wouldn't blow.
She'd sound good on a Digga D track, you know? Some kind of yard drill.
You're telling me she couldn't jump on a record with Little Sims. You can skate over any type of beat or genre, which she's proven in the Five Fingers of Death on Shady, by the way. What you'd put on with Digga D.
I'm not discounting Little Sims at all. Oi. I'm just saying I don't think her and Shensia would work in a studio session.
I completely disagree. In a studio session, why could Little Sims not vibe it?
I just get different energy from both of them. I just don't think it would work. Like,
no, but some of the most opposite things in life work, do they not?
Yeah.
Say opposites attract. Bro, some of the collabs I've seen out there, mate, over the years, that make zero sense but work. There's been some very questionable ones. There's been some funky ones. I'm scoping. Central C could be a shout.
Who?
Central C.
Central C.
If you're talking big records, if in the UK, innit? Obviously, he's...
I tell you what I'm doing. If I'm in charge of the session, here's exactly what I'm doing. If I'm in charge of the session, I am putting
Steph London as well. That'd be a shout.
I was gonna say Steph before, but I think it's too obvious. It would work. It would work, but I think it's too obvious. I'm putting Abracadabra.
Parsaloo. Whoa.
Oh, Parsaloo's a good shout, to be fair.
Parsaloo and Shensia would be a mad thing. My man on the chorus.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know, actually, now you just said that, that's giving me an idea. Backrow G and Shensia would be vibes. Have you heard the song he's done with Miss Banks? I can't remember what it's called. That is Backrow G's sick, you know.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Nyege Lower?
I can't remember.
It's not English.
Yeah, it's not English. I'm putting Shensia on a track with Abracadabra.
D-Block Europe.
That would suit, you know.
Oh, just get her on the chorus. That's
D-Block,
it.
But D-Block Europe and Shensia, that actually sonically would work.
We're putting A&Rs out of business right now. We're going to start.
We are killing them off. But no, I'm putting her on a track with Abracadabra.
Possibly.
That's what it's going to be. And it's going to be...
These draw man are angry, yo.
But Abracadabra's got the versatility. And I'm thinking now in terms of like what he did with Steph on that Envy Us tune.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
where he's got the bars, but he's got the melodies as well. This is what I like about Abracadabra. Him and Shensia, because their voices as well, just throw
him with H, man. Just throw him with H in it and just be done with it. That's number one material there.
H probably. And Shensia, that wouldn't be a number one.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would. H's numbers.
Shensia's has H
numbers.
Ever had a number one?
I don't think he's had a number one yet.
So yeah, putting Shensia on the track wouldn't give
has he had a number one?
No. He hasn't. I'm gonna
Ardy's had one, isn't it?
Ardy hasn't had a number one, no, he had a number five.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, okay, technically the Body remix was number one.
Yeah, that doesn't count. It's not his.
I mean, yeah, that's debatable because it only got as big as it did because of his verse. But technically,
it was his song, fam.
No, but it was. But he
Noah's gonna back his boy
it.
To the death now.
Oh, absolutely, bro. That's family.
Ardy's number one.
Who am I looking up? H.
I'm just there to throw a spider in the works, mate.
I know you are.
It's my job.
Number ones. He's had. I'm talking about H now. No number ones. Five top tens.
That's decent, man.
It is good.
That is good. And it's good. Highest... It's good. It's good for an artist who's yet to really put out a proper body of work.
Okay, so Taste got to number two, which there is interesting. Go. I never realized he got that. And Rain, Rain got to number three.
Well, yeah, Taste took over.
I mean,
the whole
Rain actually with AJ Tracy. That
Taste was way bigger than Rain. Taste took over the whole country, man. It did. You could play
bro,
that.
Rain's
in
massive, though.
Yeah, I know, but. I just feel like Taste was just like a landmark. That was like H's arrival song. That was like,
yeah, it was,
yo,
it
man's
was,
here.
It was a landmark, really, wasn't it?
It was massive, man. Like,
I feel like Rain has a longer shelf life.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really play Taste now. Taste is in that weird space where it's not quite a classic because of its age, but it's not new enough to keep in the rotations. So I'm taking it out. Well, not even taking it out. I just skip past it, like not in a bad mind thing, but it's just, and you know when you're playing and you just like look at a song and you think, does that fit the vibe right now? No, I'm not playing it. And then That's how I feel whenever I see that and loads of other songs just in my crates. I'm like,
it's going to be interesting to see what them two whip up together.
I have a feeling
because they're like clones of each other, but from north and south of England.
Yeah, what I would love the clones of each.
They're
other.
Literally direct clones of each other, but one's from Brighton and one's from Manny.
Manny. What I would love is to hear them do like a back to back type song.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Four bars each, like kind of. I don't know how it could work, but.
I'm sure it's going to be something clever, man. Like, I see the way H moves with his visuals and his rollouts and that, and like everything is always a little bit the guy. And then obviously Ardy's doing his thing. I think them two together, they're going to be sat there like, right, we've really got to do something here because man are waiting on this collab. Like people have been shouting it for the longest.
Yeah.
So, and them two together, yeah, that's definitely got number one written all over it, man. Them two fan bases combined.
Mm.
Depending on what's out around the release. Hopefully Adele or Drake or someone don't drop. But it's if they have a clean run in the charts, they'll hit it, I think.
Yeah.
But it's always down to who drops, isn't it? You know what it's like? Because if any of the big dogs decide to release around that, then it's a bit peaked, man.
But you got to look at these two guys now, bro. They command a lot of numbers.
Yeah, they're not commanding Drake numbers, Kanye numbers.
No. Not even. I mean,
Adele numbers, Ed Sheeran. Like, if any of these people drop, then it's no one else can compete.
I'll be honest, yeah. And yes, small print, there is bias here, but I reckon.
You don't need to say small print, bro. We know this now.
Yeah, well, I'll own it, but I'm saying it with my chest. I'm saying it fully. If H and RD dropped a record the same day as Drake in the UK, I reckon they're rivaling it. They can chat to Drake.
No.
I don't think Adele, because it's different demographics, and Ed Sheeran and Adele, they have different demographics.
I think it depends on the song.
But
because Drake started dropping throwaways, man. But like, if you're talking about when he was dropping like One Dance and all these rhythms and like,
I'm talking about today. I'm talking about right now. Today, Drake drops a single. H and RD drop their song. It's Drake's not dominating, bro. Not he's not wiping them off the face of the earth with his single. He's absolutely not.
And man. Drake has 40 million more monthly listeners than H and RD combined.
I don't care. I don't think Drake is.
And the streaming numbers all count, aren't it?
Yeah, but I'm talking about UK.
That's fair, but even then, if you take a slice of that extra 40 million listeners, that might be 10 million more.
Yeah, maybe, but
it's not. You can't judge it off that anyway.
You have to also look at the TikTok dynamics and stuff. I don't really think
Drake ain't
that the TikTok demographic are really tapping into Drake like that anymore.
No, they're not.
However, RD, bro, they have that on smash. And H as well. I think he's just about got the age demographic.
He hates it.
What?
I watched an interview with him in New York with an upcoming dude. It was actually, I don't know how I found this because he doesn't really do them kind of interviews.
Who's that, H?
Yeah, H did a random sit down with a guy in New York. It's a very good interview as well.
Did a Vlad TV one also.
And he was saying but they made that bonus content. We couldn't watch that. You had to sign up or something to watch it. So I never had to watch it. Tell your boy, man.
Tell your story.
He was basically saying, he's not into the social aspect. He's not into the TikTok and that. He says he's got it and little post bits, but it's not in the forefront of his mind to be trying to manipulate these platforms.
Mm.
Like he was even tweeting the other day, like he's been in a bad way mentally and that. Like he's had to tap out. And
I've seen him post that before as well.
Man, I don't think he's into it. I don't think he's fully into it. It's relentless, man. Like, you know what this game's like.
Yeah,
I get it though. Like you got to play the game, innit? Ardy's playing it magnificently, bro. Everyone's manipulating TikTok. Look at Swarms's new thing that he's dropping. Please tell me you've seen that video of him jumping around. It's the game is in trouble, mate.
I just feel
sampled MC Hammer. If that's not in violation in itself, he's made up a dance which is basically like Russ Gunleen B-Tech version.
I mean, I'm not the target demographic in it. That's all. I don't want to completely shoot him down because he's doing his thing. Like
no, he's doing his thing. I'm here for it, man. But
creating
like,
the music and that.
All these men can just stand around there with doing that shit with no shame.
That's the thing. I think
I just think, like, are you ready to have to perform that dance move on every show that you do now? Like, you're...
He's on the verge of becoming the Gracious K of 2022.
Oh, that's... I don't know.
Bro, because this is the thing. Imagine Migraines can't come out now. Gracious K goes clear with TikTok. Mm. Are you crazy? The Migraine Skank now with TikTok. He was before his time, you know, when you break it down.
Right, that's a great shout.
How big would Migraine Skank be if it dropped now with TikTok? I'm telling you, number one, mate. It's gone. It's gone clear.
That's a very good point, you know.
Oh, we need to give Gracious K his resurrection, fam.
Yes, imagine. Gracious K dropping a 2022 refix version.
Because when you think about it, like, he kind of... Did he start the whole little dancey crazy thing? Like, obviously, he had the KIG family, Head Shoulders, and that. It was all that around
was
that
way
time.
After Migraines. Oh, I said way
even
after,
even,
after
even Head Shoulders on TikTok and that. These man were before the time, bro.
Yeah, because there's that Afrobeats tune that's going off now, isn't it? Where people were moving their leg, then their shoulder, then their head, and all of that. Like, that's a
even like the Fling record, the dancehall joint, and all them ones.
But yeah, I mean, dancehall music's been doing
they've
the
been
dances
doing it
forever.
Nah,
forever.
No, I hear that. Yeah, that's true. That's not the same comparison. But big up the UK funky man them that were on the TikTok wave before TikTok was even a platform. There you go.
I might start playing Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes again.
I still throw it in there if I go into a little mini funky set. I always fling in like my bait ones.
I deleted
like
it.
Egypt in the morning and stuff like that. I send it every time. Whoa.
I've got a really weird version of that. I've got a version where for the second verse, some guy just starts singing. Like, it's not just Egypt. Someone called Tez Lee just starts fucking singing. Bro, so I always cut.
Stop playing LimeWire versions in the rave, man.
It might be a LimeWire version.
It's got some LimeWire bootleg.
It might be a LimeWire version. And I don't have the original, which is really weird. Because at the time, it was all popping off as well. I was really cool with Egypt. So I should have had a fucking dub of that, to be honest.
It's quite hot in Egypt.
Huh? Say it's quite hot in Egypt.
Said it's pretty cool in Egypt.
What do you think of this Pushing P song?
Rubbish. No more comment. It's dad, bro.
That is that topic dealt with for today.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not me, man. I'm not a gigantic new school hip hop fan, bruv. Like, I'll listen to it. I like some of the stuff. Super passionate about it. Nah, not really.
I think there's a huge gap being driven in the culture between US hip hop and UK black music culture.
Right.
In a sense that even like, there are some people clinging on, but even this whole Pushing P thing, now everyone's saying Pushing P, but do you know what I mean? It's like, musically, it doesn't really seem to connect. I've played it in the clubs a couple of times.
And there's Pushing P. That's all I hear, bro.
Yeah, but I'm playing it in the clubs a couple of times and it's not going off in the clubs the way it is on social media. Do you know what I mean?
Why do these big hip-hop songs that get gassed and championed, like Way Too Sexy, for example, as soon as the I'm too sexy for this, as soon as that first bit finishes, everything dies. The club, the dance floor, the energy.
Yeah.
It just goes, it's 100, but then after the first chorus, drops to like 40%.
I'm blaming
loads
attention.
Of big songs are like that. Mo Bamba, the same. As soon as the, darling, then it just takes a gigantic nosedive, does it not? Loads of these big songs are like that, man. You never even get to the second verse.
I'm putting it on people's attention spans, and I think that's to do with social media through the lockdown.
And that.
So many people were glued to their phones for the lockdown, watching TikToks, Instagram reels, 30-second videos, onto the next, just munching through content in 30 seconds. And I think it's conditioned people's attention spans.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you know what I mean? Like, long form content is, I mean, I can't say entirely it's dropping off because there are people who will sit and watch a 2-hour documentary. I post out hour long interviews and people watch it. Do you know what I mean? So it's not everybody, but I think the TikTok generation and the Instagram reel generation, which are the people that are essentially, they're the ones coming to the clubs. Their attention spans are fucked, bruv. Like,
they're the like more social media. I feel like my brain is like getting programmed that way as well, man. It's not healthy, yo.
No, same. I've spent far too much time on social media and my attention span. I can't sit through a movie now without picking up my phone to look at my social media. It's weird. It's so weird. I've got a very unhealthy relationship with it, man. And it's something I need to change.
I'm learning to stay off it at times and moments. And it's more when if I'm locking into stuff, I just got to put my phone to the side, man. I can't. I'm like a little child, bruv. I am. Even when I was in school, like, my reports always used to say he's easily distracted, doesn't stop talking. I still do it now. I'm like a child, bro. Like, if my phone's out, whatever, or there's distractions, it literally will distract me. But like, if I lock into an edit, I'll sit there and not speak for like 14 hours.
Yeah.
It's the only time.
Yeah, if I get into something, if I get into my work, then I really enjoy it. And that's it. I'm solid on it. But if my phone's nearby, I halfway through something, bing, look at my phone, check the message, reply.
All it takes is one thing and you're tapped in again.
By habit, once I've replied to that text, I quickly open Instagram, see what's going on there. Excuse me. And that's how short my attention span is. I'm even boring myself. but no, it's very difficult with my phone near me now to not get distracted from things. And I'll be doing an edit or I'll be working on something. My phone will ping. I'll pick it up, end up on social media. Then it takes me ages to get back into the flow of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. But I think en masse, that's what's happening across the board. Like, everyone's attention span is just flopped.
It's especially for like business owners and self-employed people. Like, your social media and your work is your phone is your work tool, man.
Yeah.
Like, everything I do runs directly from my mobile. Like, it's actually sick when you think about it. Like, Gary Vee says it all the time. We're lucky to have the tech that we have to be able to do what we do. Because it's not always been like this, innit? Like, this is, you can run a whole business from the palm of your hand, essentially. Yeah. Which is sick, amazing. It's amazing, but it has its pros and cons, isn't it?
You've just got to be extremely disciplined, which I'm not at the moment.
I don't let it get to me no more. Socials. I had a phase where I was in the chase, and like you get too involved in it, and it's bad for your mental, man. You start chasing and just thinking about it all the time. Now I'm just kind of like, I'll just post and just post or whatever. Like, I'm not trying to think about it too deep, man. Like, I'm definitely trying to level up all my content and that, but not to the detriment of my fucking health, mate.
No, I hear that.
It's not it. The key is to just enjoy it, man, and be yourself, bro, and all the pressures around it. You just got to allow it, man. That's why the people that you see excel in social media are the ones that just 100% unapologetically themselves.
Yeah.
Not putting nothing on. They're not adding no extras. Just doing them and it's working. Then it becomes less pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. However, social media has given platforms now to uneducated people with an opinion. And by that, I mean, like, I see a lot of music critics out there.
It's just giving everybody an opinion, isn't it? That's it. Like,
yeah, but it's giving everyone a platform. I don't think that's a good thing, because I see so many people that really don't know about their music, but they'll be opinionated and they'll go against the grain with their opinions. And then suddenly they're on every fucking piece of recorded content ever, and every podcast and every video giving their opinion on stuff just because they're raw with it. And they're like, yeah, I think gigs is shit. Da, 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 da. And they said it out loud once. And now everyone's like, oh, wow, he speaks the truth. Let's get him on everything. Well, she speaks the truth. Let's get her. Like, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird space.
Having outlandish opinions will put you in the right places these days, man.
Yeah, but there doesn't seem to be any education on here, bro.
Every episode, it probably bang out overnight.
Yeah, but the difference is we can back it up with the knowledge. We've been here. I'm talking about people that literally just pop out of the woodwork and just be like, such and such is shit. Goes viral with it. And then just because they said it out loud and they went against the grain.
I think it's because like the people that post these opinions and like they're only clicking with the people that don't fully know. Like, the people that are taking these opinions are the ones that don't really know any better.
Yeah.
That's why the masses, and that is the masses. There's more people that don't know than do. So there's people that are throwing out outlandish opinions about music, and it's being lapped up by people that don't really know much about music either. So that's where the issue is. Like, anyone with importance that knows what they're talking about, they're not tapping into half these bullshit opinions.
So we need to dumb it down, basically, for
It's going to get worse, mate. It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
It's not even going to get better. It's just going to continually get worse. Like, whilst socials will continually grow, and this will never stop. It will never stop, man. More people will have a voice, and the socials and the platforms will get even bigger.
I wonder what the next social media platform will be. And I've never been able to...
The metaverse, man, is going to be it. Like, it's not even going to be a social platform. It's going to be you tap into a virtual fucking world. Like, it's going to get to that point where
that shit's really going to take off.
I don't fully know too much about it, but it feels like from what I've read and seen online, it's heading that way. You're going to be plugging into the Matrix, man.
I don't even know how to get into the metaverse, though. I don't know, like, if I had a virtual reality headset now, I don't know how to connect to the metaverse.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's...
Do all this shit, like...
I don't know if it's got that far yet. I don't know if it's...
So I saw a video the other day, but I don't know if it was a real thing or not, and it was like a virtual club in the metaverse. And it was a screen capture.
I posted that with the guy DJing. And he was
the mixer and stuff like this.
Mental.
I don't know if that was real or not, but I thought, who are all these people and how have they plugged into that? Like,
apparently that's been about for a minute, that one, because I posted it and I had a few replies saying, yeah, it's not new, that's dying.
It's
been about for a minute. But, yeah,
I don't know.
I see all the fashion labels are now releasing like digital itemized clothing and collabs and... Yeah, it's scary where it's going, man, but we'll see, innit? We'll see.
It's weird.
We'll see. Or you crypto dons as well. That shit's in the mud right now.
Mate, yeah, we got sold a dream.
I lost pure dollar on crypto this week.
No, you know what, though? You only lost it if you cash out.
Yeah, I'm not cashing out.
Just let it sit there. Haven't lost it. It just
someone posted something and was like, if you're feeling uneasy at where the crypto is right now, then you probably shouldn't be in it because this is normal.
To be honest, I put in last year and my mentality was...
Just leave it there.
I'm going to put this in and it's going to sit there for 20 years.
Same.
Literally was like, let me just see what this... It wasn't groundbreaking money, but it was enough that if it skies off in 20 years, I'll be good. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, if it flops and all goes to zero, I'll be like, oh, that was a bad decision. But I won't be devastated because it's not stupid money. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But, it's a weird one. Early on, I was checking it daily to see what was happening. And I was excited because within the first 2 weeks, all of my shit doubled. Do you know what I mean?
But now it's like halved.
Well, one of them's maintained. Two of them in the minus. But yeah, it's a weird space that is. I saw you tweet and it was really funny because this exact same scenario has been happening to me for weeks and weeks and weeks. You tweeted about two girls in the club.
Oh, snap.
Being completely dead vibes and not with the music at all and completely just basically being miserable fucks.
Oh, do you know what it is? I have this thing, like, when you go out to the club, like, if you've already made the mind up in your head that you're going to have a shit night, like, I don't get it. Like, if you come out with your friends, embrace the vibe, innit? Just embrace the venue, embrace the energy. Like, if you're just going to... I just, bro, do you know what? Yeah, these two girls just stood there all night, just staring at me, just every song, giving me the looks, giving me the shoulder.
It's so funny, bro, because literally...
At one point, they're filming me in that.
Yes!
And then looking at the phone, like, obviously posting me on the Snapchat or whatever.
Dead DJ, this guy's shit.
Bear in mind, this night was one of the littest nights in a minute. The club was rammed, bro. I'm talking the whole room is like singing. Before we've even hit midnight, I've got the whole room eating out of my hands. Everybody's singing. And there's just these two gals stood in front of the booth. The only people in the whole room that mustn't have been enjoying themselves. And I'm just... My own way to do it, and I was just to laugh at the minute. So like when they're doing it and they're looking at me, I'm laughing at them, and I'm just like, one of them come over to me and I was like, look around, like everybody's having a great time. Like if you're just gonna stand there, like you may as well just leave. You may as well just go home now. Like I don't get it. I just can't put my finger on these people's mentality that want to come out. They just want to hear. They're not there for the vibe of the room. Get me, like, we're there to play for the majority, not the minority. We have to play for the whole club. But then these people come out with the mentality of, I want to hear my song, and I'm just gonna be moody,
yeah,
until I hear it. And even then, when a couple of the songs come on that I thought they might have enjoyed, they danced and that, yeah, but they still looked absolutely pissed off, mate. It's like they've got in their own heads that much that they've told themselves, I cannot be seen having a good time near now. But you created that energy yourself.
Yeah, so
that's
two girls.
You can't be seen having a good time.
There's two girls in the club that I play at on Saturdays that do exactly the same thing, and they stand right by the DJ box.
It's like they try to put you under pressure, isn't it? On purpose, they'll stand next to the booth just to put you on your.
The first time they did it, you know, but they are deliberately standing completely still, staring at me.
Yeah,
the first time they did it, I looked, made eye contact, smiled, got no smile back, and I was like, "Rah, what have I done?" And then I just clocked them. You know, you always gravitate to like that kind of energy in a room. Yeah. I've got like, I don't know, 400 people in the room, maybe all going off. And then these two girls stood right by me. So I've gravitated to their energy.
It can throw you
and
off,
now I'm
man.
Looking, I'm just like, wow, what's your issue? And I'm thinking, okay, it's the music. So I even actually, the very first time I thought, you know what? It's my mission to make these girls dance. So I started flexing and like a little bit of bashment. Like, they did not move. Afrobeats, nope, they didn't budge. R&B, nope, they're not on it. Hip hop again, nope. Drill, nope, nothing. Nothing moved them whatsoever. But and then at the end of the night, they just kind of gave their little evil looks and then left.
Yeah.
And then they were there the week after.
Yeah.
The fuck are you even, why did you come back? If it was that shit, why come back? If I am that rubbish, don't come back. And it's just, bruv, they're there every single week and it throws me up. Honestly, to a point, I'm not this guy, but to a point where I'm just almost thinking, I need to get security to get them out of the room, bro, because like you two are dead in my vibe. I've got past that now. I'm at a point where literally I just laugh at them.
Yeah, that's where you got to get to. If you feed, I used to feed into it the same way, bro. You've got to laugh at these people because at the end of the day, I feel sorry for them a little bit. Like, you're just coming out and ruining your own night before it's even begun. Like, if you're just going to stand there and tell yourself I'm having a shit night, you're going to have a shit night. Yeah. It's that simple. Like, you're not going to.
I don't get it though. Why are you? No matter.
It's not a new thing, this, you know. This has been going on for a minute. I remember one girl one time, she found my Instagram and sent me the most outlandish abuse to my DMs. I didn't see it for a couple of days because it went to my message requests. But she'd obviously got my social off my laptop.
Yeah.
And just cussed the absolute life out of me, bro. I was like, what? It's the only job in the world. Imagine I go into McDonald's, yeah? Someone serves me, and then I go and find that Instagram. You fucking, how dare you serve me a burger like that? You, imagine in any other line of work where that would run.
Yeah.
Like, we actually put up with some crazy amounts of abuse, mate.
We do.
And no, I'm not trying to cuss out females right now, but it's always girls.
No, it's not. It's not. I had one.
I always have run-ins with gal, man. It's never really the man then.
I had quite a bad one. Someone popped in my DMs. It's a few years ago.
You females.
No, someone popped into my DMs a few years ago. This is before drill was like really, really popping, but there was drill out there, but it wasn't club playable drill in my opinion.
Big drilly.
And they basically put it on me. We're like, we come to the club every Friday. We buy bottles and we're on the table every Friday. You need to play more drill.
Woo.
And then the next message, literally, I wasn't replying to this. The next message was like, if you don't play drill on Friday, then one of my youngers is going to come up and throw acid in your face.
I remember you told me about this.
And then the next one was something about me getting stabbed outside the club. Then the next one was another threat and all of this shit. Because of that acid thing, I actually told the manager about that just to make sure they tied
it up.
That's
a terrorist threat, mate. You can't be going around saying
fucking terrorist attack.
Stop throwing acid at man in the booth.
So that, because people, bro, you're going to threaten me on Instagram. You're not really about it, are you? Like, if you're going to do something, just run up and try it, innit? Like, not even do it. You can try. Like,
But if it's acid, there's not going to be much shine involved.
You know what? And I think around about that time, there had been an acid attack in London or something like that. There'd been quite a bad one. And I thought, you know what? There's been a couple. It was around that time when there was like, seemed to be a couple of acid attacks going on. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to tell the manager about this just so they can tighten up the searches on the door.
Yeah.
Because really and truthfully,
are throwing threats around like that, yeah,
if they're being serious, bro, I'm too good looking to have that happen to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's not the vibe. That's not the vibe at all. Like, I don't want acid in my face. Come on.
I just feel like there's a mentality problem with when people come out of the house now instead of like, just, I remember playing clubs when I first came through and it didn't really matter about the music, man. Like, you could mix across the board and play some different kind of rhythms, whatever, and it wouldn't affect the energy because people are out just to have a good time. Mm. Like, now it's more about, I want to hear my song. I've got to get my moment to flex on the Instagram or whatever. Yeah, like, these two gal, when I finally ran, like, they obviously wanted Afrobeats because that was the only music that got the reaction out of these two gal. But as soon as it come on, no joke, phone was out.
Smiles.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
Look at me and my friends. But for like the other 4 hours of the night, the stare of death.
Doom. Absolute fucking doom.
Well, yeah, I think when they realised that every time they looked at me, I laughed at them. I think they just realised that they're not going to get a rise out of me. And just, yeah.
The problem with those kind of people, yeah, when you're stood still looking like a miserable prick all night, as soon as I play a song that makes it look like you're happy, I want to cut the song off.
Yeah, same.
I don't want to play it anymore because I just realised, actually, you know what? No, and it's such a weird mentality.
If you want to play musical chairs, we can do it too, mate.
We should be in the vibe where it's like, oh, okay, cool. I've made you dance now. I've done my job. But instead, I get into the mentality of, you know what? You've been there giving me evils and messing up my energy for 2 hours now. Mm-hmm. Fuck your energy. Go home. Like, well, oh, okay, I see that you don't like drill. I'm playing more drill.
So many people say, next song.
Oh, my word.
Next song, bro.
Next
song, motherfucker. I'm going to play all 4 minutes, 37 yes. seconds of this song.
And you know what? When it gets to the last chorus, I'm reloading this motherfucker.
I might even pull it up when it gets to the third verse. Oh. This is the thing. DJs do this thing where we can play games too.
Yeah.
The crowd can play games with us if they want, but we can play games too, mate. Don't you dare
next song me. I choose the next song and when it comes on. And you've just messed it up for me because now I've got to play this one for another 2.5 minutes. Yeah,
this is it, man. It's funny, man. I love it when people when people come up and try and throw off their energy. It's like, okay, we can do this too, you know. We can do this too. We've got all night because we don't get to leave till the end. You can leave whenever you want. I've got time.
How do you think people view DJs? Because we always use a comparison of like, you wouldn't get on a bus and tell the driver like, oh, don't go that route, go down this way because it's quicker and that'll get me home quicker. Or you wouldn't go into a restaurant and go like up to the chef and be like, you know what, this is how you cook it. Don't put that ingredient in, put this ingredient in next, da, da, da. But those jobs, I don't know if they're really comparable, are they?
I think there's a complete disconnect to people that know about DJing and people in the music industry to the average person that doesn't understand what a DJ is or does. Yeah. I reckon there's a massive disconnect. They don't even, it's like you say, some of the stuff that people come up and say shows they don't know what the hell, they haven't got a clue about what DJing is or what it entails.
Yeah.
So that's all I think it is. I don't think they get it. It's like, man, just think we've got access to the whole Spotify fucking encyclopedia at like the click of a finger. Like, they come waving the playlist in your face and all that. Like, they just don't.
I mean, to be fair, it's not far from that. Like,
it's close to that, but you're opening up a different kind of worms at that point.
Yeah. I just wonder how people view it, because even to a point where if they're ordering a cocktail in the bar, vast majority of people won't tell the barman how to make the cocktail and what to put
exactly
in the cocktail.
Exactly.
And they're happy to come up to the it's weird. I wonder, like,
I think they treat us like punters, bruv. Like, we're, like, it's not a real job. They treat us like we're just any man in the club, like anybody else.
It's like we work for them. Like, like they are our customers. No, you're the club's customers. You ain't my customers, bro.
Exactly. You're my customer, mate. It's the other way around. I'm hired by the venue. And you're on the floor, like...
Yeah, the venue is the customer, not
the customer. We're serving you the music. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It's odd, but I do...
It's an odd job, man, isn't it?
I do wonder, like, how do normal people view DJs? Are we just these talentless fucks that just stand and play music to them? Are we just people that just push the buttons on the shiny, flashy mixer thing?
Did you see my tweet the other day with the Tupac meme? And it was just like, yeah, how's the DJ thing going? And it was Tupac just going...
How's your little DJ thing
going? And then they put the little hand over there and that the little.
Where did that come from?
From girls coming to the booth saying, "Oh, can I DJ?"
No, because you see this. Yeah, Roman was doing something. Roman was listening. So my son,
I always put the hand over the ear. Nobody puts the frigging hand. No one puts the hand over
there. When you're scratching, especially when you're scratching.
Especially when you're scratching, because that one's on the fader.
Exactly. So where did
this
come from?
You have a right job scratching with one hand.
Because my son did it the other day. Put his hand on his ear and then did the scratch motion because he was listening to one of my mixes where I scratch and he was pretending to do it at the same time. But he had his hand on his ear and his other hand there like this. Yeah, but I have never done that. This is not learned behavior.
If anything, I do like where I'm holding a phone under my ear. Like I'll cup the headphone like and put my shoulder on it to hold it. Do you know what I mean? Then I'll still use my arm or hands.
Occasionally, yeah, I'll put my finger on my ear.
That's as much of a myth as Ollie Ollie Ollie.
Wait.
James Hype sent me a voice note and said he loved the Ollie 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 episode. He's like, these are the things that I want to know about.
We need to dig up the history of these things.
I was like, blame double.
All right, so I got some contradicting answers to that episode. Someone sent me a Wikipedia page where apparently the origins of it come from rugby fans, where it used to be a rugby thing.
Wow.
But then, interestingly enough, somebody sent me a clip. Do you know who CKP is?
Yes.
Like an old school host.
No, the garbage guy.
Yeah.
Woo! CKP.
There's a clip on him.
That's DT.
He's on someone's podcast, and there's a clip of him telling a story of how he invented Ollie Ollie Ollie.
CKP invented Ollie Ollie Ollie.
His own words, bro, that he was the first person ever to do it in the club, and it was to do with someone called Ollie. Now, I believe that he believes he invented it. But I don't believe he invented it. You know, have you got any of those
Ollie
things?
Ollie 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 was deaf around before CKP. That's back end of the 90s, like early 2000s time.
I don't know. He was active through the 90s. He's an older generation guy. He's
old school garage. Old school. That's what they said. 90s into the 2000s was like the garage, old school garage era.
Yeah, but he was active before then, I reckon. But I believe that he believes that he invented it. Have you got anything from your childhood that you're convinced you were the first person to do? So I'll give you an example. Yeah, me and my best friend Simon, we invented a game. Right, it's called Curbball.
You did not invent Kirby.
We did.
You didn't.
We invented Curbball. So for anyone that doesn't know,
you
what
definitely
Curbball
did
is,
not
don't
invent.
Interrupt. Don't interrupt.
Is it Kirby? Curbball. Same game.
Yeah, of course. But you Northerners call it something different. We like
Curbball.
Curbball. Of course, it's called Curbball.
Curbball?
Hold on. For anyone that doesn't understand, you stand on opposite sides of the road with your toes on the curb, hanging over the curb, and you have a football. And you've got to throw the ball and hit it perfectly on the corner
on the curb
of the opposite curb so that it bounces back. And if it bounces back, you have to catch it. If you catch it, you get a point. If you hit the curb and it hits your opponent's curb and bounces back and hits your curb perfectly as well, you win the game. Right? And if you miss the curb, then it's your opponent's turn to have a throw. That's called curb ball. Me and my friend Simon invented it. However, it appears that people have stolen our idea and it was played nationwide.
Well, no, so I don't know what curbball is, mate. Well, that is outlandish.
Kirby, is that what you call Kirby? Same game, yeah?
Yeah, it's Kirby, man.
Well, it's curbball. Call it curbball. But anyway, my point is, I invented curbball. Me and Simon, we invented it. However, yes. Many other people also played it. I feel that this might be the similar situation as CKP. I think he didn't hear anyone else doing the Ollie Ollie Ollie. And I feel like he thinks he invented it. But actually, it was invented by someone else.
I always thought it was an old school garage origin. Like I always thought that's where it came from, to be fair. But the rugby thing and shout makes sense, I guess.
I mean, it's on Wikipedia, so it's definitely true.
Yeah, obviously. Not like anybody could have written that.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I feel like I invented. No, not that clever, mate, unfortunately.
Well, I definitely invented Kerbal. There's another thing I invented as well. I can't remember what it was.
Clart.
Definitely the clart.
Yeah, I can't remember. But it's a thing. It's like a thing that I was convinced that I invented it, chatted to someone slightly older than me from a completely different area. And they were like, yeah, we used to do that. I was like, oh.
Fuck. Yeah, Kirby is definitely a nationwide thing.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
I should have copyrighted it, mate. I could be getting royalties right now from... Actually, I mean, to be fair, kids don't play like that anyway now. They're playing fucking Fortnite. No one's playing Kerbal.
Yeah, imagine seeing a kid playing Kirby now or Pitch and Toss. Remember that one?
Pitch and Toss?
Pitch and Toss, yeah, where you throw the coins at the wall.
Do the what?
You throw the coins at the wall. You got to get it closest to the wall and you win the money.
You're from the hood.
Why? You never played that?
No.
I am from the hood. I didn't all grow up on Brighton Beach.
Skimstone.
You was wakeboarding.
We were skimming. You were skimming. Who can get the most bounces out of a stone across the water?
Yeah, we played pitch and toss, man. And you used to hustle the life out of people in the playground.
What's the idea then? You get your coin closest to the wall.
First person throws a coin towards the wall, and then you got to get it closer to the wall in front of their coin. Closest to the wall wins all of the coins.
I saw someone playing that in Plymouth.
But if you're playing with quids or something in school and you got 5-6 man, clean it up, mate. Hard times back then. Like, there was no other way to, like, buy. I remember hustling to get money to buy my records. So whatever I hustled in school, I would go and spend on vinyl after school.
So
I
used to get pitch and toss to records.
I used to hustle cigarettes, man. I was a right little hustler. I used to buy a 10 packet of cigs, like £1.20 or something, whatever price it was, and sell them for like 50p each on the playground.
50p or don't do three, it at home, kids. For a pound. You know what I used to sell in school? This was a hustle, right? You remember the plastic straws that were about the same length as a pencil and they had sherbet inside?
Yeah.
1 penny each, right? So I used to go into the shop, spend a tenner, so I've got 1,000, and take them into school and sell them for 2p each. I wouldn't accept coppers, so I would only accept anything from 10p upwards, basically. So you got to buy 5. Minimum order's 5. I had a pencil case it was an empty pencil case that basically people around the class would order. So, okay, cool. Who's ordering next? Boom. I send the pencil case empty to them. They send it back with the money in. I put the straws in, send the pencil case off. Boom.
See that entrepreneurial spirit from young.
One time, I was in the newsagents, yeah, and it took literally, the newsagent used to hate me because they used to have to count out 1,000 of these things every time. And I remember one time in the newsagents, I feel bad about it now, but the guy counted to 1,000, put them in a bag, gave me the bag and forgot to charge me.
Wow.
So I walked out with a tenner's worth of these things, walked straight down the road to the next newsagents, spent my tenner on straws there. So I had 20 quid's worth for £10 and... Yeah, that week made 40 quid.
All him. I know it's me. You're selling sherbet sticks and I'm selling cigarettes. It shows the kind of school I went to.
No. You know what it was? The cigarette market was already cornered. That's why. There was already someone. Ryan
Hunt. We had a sweet kid just like you called Mark Brunton, and he was the Don. My mum used to come in with, he had a whole sweet shop in his back, his backpack. But then one day, a bunch of the naughty kids jacked him up, yo.
Robbed him.
Absolutely raided him on the park before school.
Yeah.
Astro belts flying around the park.
There was a guy 2 years above me that actually did the sweets, all the refresher bars and all of that stuff. So I called it the sherbet straws. That was my thing. But the cigarettes, Ryan Hunt sold the cigarettes. He did 50p each or 3 for a pound.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, there was only one. You had to hustle back then. Like, I remember getting my little £5 a week spends or whatever I got. But like, I needed funds to fund my DJing, innit? Like, trying to buy music back then. Like you say, now you can just go online and download what you want. But if you didn't buy the vinyl back then, you didn't have the song.
Yeah. And but I mean, back then, to be honest, buying music wasn't a concern for me back then. I wasn't really.
It was for me. I was doing like the little garage things in school with all the MCs. So like, I was trying to get the next garage record so the guys can spit.
Right.
And we used to have sessions in my yard before school. Speakerman, you do know the whole podcast can see you. Flipping heck, just in the corner having a little jog there.
Watching your missus run around in the background.
Oh my God, look, I can see you there. What are you doing? Why are you doing star jumps? Everyone can see you. You're lucky you're lucky this isn't a visual pod. Jesus.
Well, it is now, isn't it?
No.
Oh, we can't talk about that yet.
But we definitely can't even get a conversation with Double anymore.
So what's 2022? What's the vibe? What's the movements?
Compound is the vibes, mate.
When's the next one? Am I on the next one?
Nope.
Oh, you're a prick. Are you being serious?
I'm being serious because the next one is a collaboration event with a company in London called Fuse. We are doing a collab. We're trying to branch out a little bit. Got a bunch of dope artists performing again. And yeah, they've had a bit of an input with the DJs as well because it's a collaboration thing. So I didn't get the full, but they kind of stand for what we stand for, but in their own area. They do the whole artistry thing for use with DJ sets or whatever. So it kind of makes sense for us to kind of reach a bigger audience, man. Like, we're growing, isn't it? We're so young, right? And it's just, we're such a small team. It's basically just me and the missus doing it at the minute. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the plan for this year. Growing the business. We just got the trademark through, so we're now trademarked and copywritten, and just, you know what I mean, no one can touch our shit.
Good shit.
Thank God. So yeah, man, that's the focus really, bruv. And just trying to build my own thing as well as a DJ myself, because I kind of lost my way with that. So
yeah, you know, that's important.
New year, fresh start.
I've got something similar happening this year. I'm doing my own thing.
Okay.
Should be good. I don't want to talk about it too much because it's one of them ones like, I don't like jinxing things. I don't like talking about work before the work's done.
Same. That's why I'm not even trying to say too much on this pod about what I'm actually doing in real life.
Yeah. But I feel like I jinx it every time, whenever, using interviews as an example, every time I've meant to be interviewing someone high profile, every time I've spoken about it before it happens, something out of my hands has happened, which has meant the interview's got cancelled. And now I've just posted, yeah, I'm doing an interview with such and such. And now I don't, and then it never arrives. So it's just,
yeah, gas. I think you learn your lesson, innit? Like, you're best off not saying anything. Like, I used to be so loud about everything just because I thought that was just what you had to do. You just had to be loud all the time, shouting about this and doing this and doing that. And I'm still here for that. I was even saying this the other day. Like, I had a big debate on my Instagram about imposter syndrome, which was mad interesting. But you learn to just not say too much as you get a little bit older. Like, I just used to be relentless. I'm like, shout, just nonstop. But yeah, it's not. Yeah, everyone's route is different. Everyone's way of doing things is different. But I've definitely learned from shouting about shit that's maybe not come to fruition. And then you just kind of end up stood there scratching your head in the end.
Yeah, I've kind of been on the opposite side of it in the sense that I'll do things and then not really shout about it enough.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. But that's
instead of
do you have imposter syndrome as well? Fucking hell!
No, I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
I have but I won't talk about things. Then I'll do them, but then I won't talk about them. I've just done them. Do you know what I mean? And it's like,
same.
Actually, what I need to do is find the balance of doing it because I think the actions are louder than the words, but celebrating the fact you've done it afterwards and showing it off. Do you know what I mean? Like this. People use the word humble too much, and I think they use it in the wrong way, because in our job, you're supposed to celebrate and scream and shout. Otherwise, how the hell do people know that there's gas behind you? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I just keep the same mentality and just crack on and just do what I do, I'm just going to go under the radar forever. So it's like, you know what? Cool. I'm working with one of the biggest artists in the country right now. I'm going to tell everybody about it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm doing this interview. That. Do you know what I mean? Like, but once the work's done, that's when I'm shouting.
I posted something the other day on my story about this, actually, about being humble and the difference. Let me find it, because this was an interesting one and it got loads of replies. It got loads of replies. I'm scared my laptop's going to explode again. Is it charging now?
I hope it doesn't. It's while you're finding that, it's funny because someone we've mentioned on the Clark before, my mate David, Young Bogus Boy. Shouts to Young Bogus Boy.
I found it anyway, so when you get it, I'll read it out.
He's very good. He comes up with some very good online like marketing campaigns and stuff. And he actually has a thing where he basically says about don't be humble. And then he posts the definition of humble. And it's actually like, when you read the definition of humble,
yeah, I think people
realize that as 100. DJs, that is not what we are supposed to be.
Yeah, it's true. DJs are meant to be out here. Like, that's our job. Like,
don't be a prick. But you don't have to be humble. And if you don't understand what I mean by that, go and look up the actual definition of humble and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, I think like some what they I posted this, yeah. So I put imposter syndrome is causing a lot of you to be quiet about your business offerings or your goals. You have talents and skills nobody knows about because you are not sharing your gifts. Being silent about your greatness isn't humble. It's wasteful.
Yeah, stop, that's pretty good.
Stop allowing your fear to hold you back. And that shit hit home real quick.
Yeah, I like that sentence. Say that last sentence again. Being silent about your gifts is not
humble.
Silence
about your greatness isn't humble. It's wasteful.
What? It's wasteful. Yeah, yeah. So being silent about your greatness is not humble. It's wasteful.
I used to be that guy, bro.
That's sick, though. I like that one sentence.
It's sick, isn't it? It's sick, yeah. Is it not?
It is. Being silent about your greatness is not humble. It's wasteful. That's the mantra right there.
Well, honestly, since the start of the year, like I've just been trying to reprogram my brain to just, like, I don't know, man. Like that imposter syndrome gets hold of you, but it got hold of me different.
But you know what we need to start doing?
To the point where I'm not even, you stop posting. You stop talking about what you're doing. Like you just go about your business quietly and like that's not, the amount of video work I've done this year, that's not even seen the light of day and no one even knows what's being done.
Yeah.
Man's been doing a madness.
But when it comes out,
Oh, my throat's tickling up, man. I feel like I've got Rona.
Don't joke about it, mate. You'll be out of work for 10 days.
Got COVID, a clot.
When the work comes out, though, that's when you scream and shout about it. But it's like, I have a thing where like people used to, for example, someone would say something to me and they'd ask what I do for a living and I'd tell them and then they'd say like, oh, are you good? And it'd be like, yeah, I'm all right. But now like, ask me if I'm good. I'm telling you, yeah, I'm actually one of the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's...
It's confidence. It's not arrogance.
I know. I've never been that guy to be out here. Like I might say it in private amongst my people or to the YP or whatever. But I'm never on public platform shouting I'm the greatest or whatever. I just let the work speak for itself. Like I'll go to the club and just do my thing and leave.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Because everyone that's not in the club doesn't know.
I know. That's the problem. That's it. I know. That's why that statement was just like rah.
Yeah.
I really got to be showing these men what's really going on out here.
Yeah.
Hence why I got my vlogging rig back. Boy. Oh,
I did a vlog this year.
I seen it, bro.
I looked at my fucking diary. Yes, I've looked at my diary. I've got the energy and I'm like, you know what? The vlogging's coming back this year.
Yeah, you can vlog something mad though.
But I'm not doing the daily vlogs. I'm doing when I can be bothered vlogs. That's
what it is. 100%. Yeah, the daily stuff ain't it, man. I just ordered a new Gorilla Pod. I've got my new Gorilla Pod now with my big camera on.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. But
the vlogging's coming back. The vlogging is back. I already put one out. I vlogged from Scotland on the mountains.
Is that on YouTube, that?
Yeah.
Sick. Are you putting it anywhere else?
No, I'll put little clips up on Instagram and stuff, but... No, the main thing is YouTube. That's
you
my main
platform.
You need
to be using TikTok with the Ardy stuff, you bruv.
Yeah, I'm getting on TikTok. Basically, the studio is nearly repaired. You know, I had a problem with the ceiling.
It's all, a problem.
It's, yeah, I had a problem.
Black hole.
Two black
my
holes.
My mum was sucking the galaxy in from his ceiling.
The ceiling collapsed in my studio and I've fixed it now. Everything's fixed. Basically,
the ceiling looked like that. Pop the shield in front of your face.
Oh, mate. Yeah, basically it did. Hole in the ceiling. But it's all repaired now. I've just got a little bit of touching up the paint to do. Then I'm setting everything back up again. And I have a plan for some TikTok content. I've got basically a content day that I'm going to be doing all this TikTok content. I'm going to open up my TikTok and just fucking flood it with some stuff.
Love that.
And then, with the RD tour and stuff like that, it's going to be very, very TikTokable. So... Hopefully, I just hope I haven't missed the boat with TikTok.
Talkable.
Yeah. I hope I haven't missed the boat with TikTok, to be honest.
Nah, you haven't, man.
I couldn't have done it any sooner than I'm doing it now anyway, but...
I don't think you missed the boat. I think it's still that platform's still wide open if you've got good content because the reach is... They don't nullify your reach in any way, bro. Like, if your shit bangs, it just bangs, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing local DJs around here that are pretty quiet, but on TikTok, fucking it in the flipping hundreds of thousands.
Mad.
Like, it's literally, there's no rules on there, man. Went like LinkedIn.
Crazy LinkedIn.
Literally, LinkedIn just opens the floodgates, mate. Off any, like, you post anything on there, shit's going viral. It's mad.
What, on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn's actually sick, bro. I've only just started tapping into it, but everybody's on there now. All the DJs on there posting the shit. All the business owners that I know.
But in that sense, like, LinkedIn is like a business networking thing.
Yeah, exactly. But DJing's a business, is it not? Why can't you network with people within the music industry on there?
I mean, you can, but what are people posting on there? Here's my mix. Listen to my mix.
I went on there yesterday and there's like the Dixon Bulls are on there posting some shit about Kiss FM and then some other bits and bobs and then like producer dudes. Like everybody's kind of on there, but with the more serious business like approach, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because there's no limits on your reach on there, is there? So like stuff can go viral a lot easier and a lot quicker. And there's more people within the professional industries that are in LinkedIn, I think. So if you're trying to maneuver around, I don't know, more important people within record labels or radio producers or whatever, like I'm sure they're all on there.
Yeah, but if they're on there and if they're active on there, it's two different things.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It seems pretty busy. I've only been tapping into it recently. Like I set all my account up and stuff and followed a load of people and it seems super active, bro. I can't lie.
I've been on LinkedIn for a minute. I just don't really use it. I used it last year when I was launching Trackwise properly.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I tried to tap in same way, man, and I've just never fingered, but now I feel like it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's becoming more and more common.
Too much social media stuff.
It's sick, bro. If you're looking for actual work as well, I guess. If you're looking for actual work, then it's...
Yeah, but again, DJ work. How much DJ work is coming through LinkedIn?
Don't know if it'll be DJ work, but if you're trying to look for jobs in and around your industry in different lines, then I'm sure. But yeah, actual DJ stuff, I'm not fully convinced.
Yeah.
I bet you could source some sick corporate stuff through that, though. I bet you all the corporate people and the important people making decisions in them companies are probably on LinkedIn.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, I just don't see that... I might be wrong, but I don't see that those kind of people, when they're event planning, go to LinkedIn to find a DJ. Everybody knows a DJ. So it's,
I don't think they go there to source it. I don't think they're going there to source it. There's no reason why you can't build a, like, meaningful relationships with it.
I guess.
Anyway, talk about content.
Yeah.
Man's going to go and make some.
Good times. Well,
I'm finishing my video.
The first clartage of 2022, we got through it. We're back.
Hello, rambling.
Yeah, it's all good, though. It's all good. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to call this one. What should we call this episode?
New Year, New Clart.
New Year, New Clart. There you go. That's the title of this one. Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Music, Deezer, iHeartRadio.
We're not on any of them, by the way.
We're on all of them, actually.
No, we're not. We're on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon.
Yeah, we are on the other ones as well. I just don't think we just don't talk about it.
Are we?
Yeah, I just put it out there. I think they are, maybe.
I don't know. I've not. Yeah, I've definitely not done that on my end. So unless you're distributing on a secret.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, never mind. I am actually talking.
This guy distributing us across the world to iHeart and random platforms, you know.
I'm actually talking shit. I'm thinking of something else. It's not this one that's going out on that.
Whoa.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. That's where you can find us. It's the Talk Over Podclart. For the DJs, by the motherfucking DJs. And...
More guests on the way, by the way. No more rambling. No more episodes of just me and Double now. guests only moving forward now. That's it.
We're going to have valuable content with people actually saying valuable things rather than just us talking shit for 2 hours.
Yeah, I feel like when we don't have a guest, we just lose all composure.
Just, it all goes out the window.
We do.
It's good. I'm here for it. I'm here for the no-guest. I like the no-guest episodes from time to time, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
I do. Anyway.
Follow the waffle. Anyway, have a good day, mate. Enjoy.
Yeah. Later, bitches.
In a bit.